Amen. Well, are you good? Praise God. I have so enjoyed the series that Pastor Deborah has been doing on holiness. And then last week, Pastor Eleanor was just amazing. And on how to hear the voice of God. Did any of you get that CD? That was so good. Anyway, I've been listening to that and how to hear the voice of God. We need the voice of God in this hour. Would you agree? Definitely. Would you agree? Anyway, I was blessed to have the opportunity to minister today. And almost immediately, God dropped something in my heart, and I like catchy titles. That's just a little thing of mine. I like catchy titles. But I entitled this message, Completely Complete, or Holy, Holy. Did they put that up there too? There we go. God wants us completely complete in every area, or holy, holy. As Pastor Deborah has given us one of the definitions for holy, it's to be completely whole. God is completely whole. No aspect of his character ever diminishes by him revealing any other aspect. He is completely, totally whole in every part. He is pure in every way. And if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, if there's joy, he's complete joy. If there's love, he's complete love. If there's patience, he's complete patience. Aren't you glad? And so all that he is, really my big revelation today, and after I say this, I guess I could sit down, but all that he is, guess what? He's in you. He's in you. All that he is, he's on the inside of you, and he wants to reveal himself through you. Point to yourself and say, yeah, little stinking me. Yeah. You know how you stink in the morning when you first wake up? You had those night sweats and bad breath and all of the above. Yeah, through you. He wants to work through you. And if we would catch sight of who he is on the inside of us and let it sink in just a little bit more, we would look past all of our insecurities and let him reach out and minister through us. Amen? Amen. Well, I'd like to read to you just kind of an introductory story told by Oswald Sanders. Many of you read his little daily devotion. But he says, in his book, Facing Loneliness, J. Oswald Sanders writes, "The round of pleasure or the amassing of wealth are but vain attempts to escape from the persistent ache. The millionaire is usually a lonely man, and the comedian is often more unhappy than his audience. Sanders goes on to emphasize that being successful only fails to produce satisfaction. Worldly success we're talking about. Then he refers to Henry Martin, a distinguished scholar. As an example, Martin, a Cambridge University student, was honored at only 20 years of age for his achievements in mathematics. In fact, he was given the highest recognition possible in that field. And yet he felt an emptiness inside. He said that instead of finding fulfillment in his achievements, he had only grasped a shadow. After evaluating his life's goals, this is at age 20, Martin sailed to India as a missionary, at the age of 24. When he arrived, he prayed, "Lord, let me burn out for you." In the next 7 years that preceded his death, he translated the New Testament into 3 different Eastern languages in 7 years, the whole New Testament. These notable achievements were certainly not passing shadows. He had reached the top of his field at age 20, got the big achievement, and then got the big award, and then realized, this is just grasping at shadows. There's no fulfillment in this, no true fulfillment in this. And so then he went on to do something significant for God in 7 years' time to translate the whole New Testament into 3 Eastern languages so people can have the Word of God today. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So God wants us fulfilled in him, and he wants us to know that we can be complete in him. And I'm not telling you to go to India today and burn out in 7 years. But I am saying that God wants to make you complete. He wants to make you totally fulfilled in him and in what he wants to do in you and through you so much that you're not grasping at straws, and that you're not reaching for air castles, and that you're not insecure and thinking there's nothing that he can do in you and through you. Are you with me today? Are you with me? Well, Colossians 2, 9 through 10 says, "For in him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, and you are complete in him." Turn to your sister and say, "You're complete." You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. For in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And you are complete in him. Because guess what? You are in him. And he is in you. The Message Bible says everything of God gets expressed in him. So you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. In the Amplified, it says, "For in him, the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him." Everybody say, "In him." Amen. You are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life. In Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority over every angelic principality and power. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know? Sometimes we're tempted to, you know, see demons on doorknobs. And, oh, the devil. But we have to step back and say, he is the head over all rule, all authority, all principality, all power. And guess what? He's in you. He's in you. Now, I'm not discounting going to people when you need prayer. But when you're in the midnight hour at home, guess what? I mean, we as pastors, we love you. But please, if you have my cell phone, please don't call me at midnight or two. No, if it's really emergency, we are there. But I'm just saying, in the midnight hour, you need to realize that the fullness of the Godhead is on the inside of you. And Jesus has complete and total reign, as Pastor Deborah just exhorted us, and rule over every principality and power that can be trying to come against you and your household. And you need to know that. Because he's on the inside of you. And he's not just sleeping with you when you sleep. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. So when you find out about it, it's not when he found out about it. He already found out about it. You just finally woke up and caught on that something was going on in your situation. So he's in there. So you can yield and tap into that. And take authority over that and have the victory that he wants in your life. Amen? I tell people, you know, if the devil himself walked in your room, which I don't think he's going to, he was one angel that was kicked out of heaven. He fell like lightning from heaven when pride was conceived in his heart. He is no match for the Godhead. Are you kidding me? The one that created everything that we see, he, a fallen angel, compared to Father God, that he created the whole system of your body to work accurately and perfectly. He created the nature all to balance together. The weather cycles, all of it. And this is under the curse. We're seeing it now. And it's amazing. We have not even seen the sunsets we're going to see someday. So God himself, the fullness of the Godhead is on the inside of you. You can do all things. And guess what? You are complete. You are holy, holy, completely, totally holy by his precious blood. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. You know, when we were over here and we were worshiping God, you know, I was like, God, I've got a lot of verses for him today. I've got a lot of word for him today. I hope they're going to hang. I hope they're going to be okay. He says, "That's okay, sister. You fill them up." You just fill them up with my word. Because you know, nothing will edify you. Nothing will build you up. Nothing will strengthen you. Nothing will renew your mind and absolutely change you like the word of God. See, this subject hits home with me, and I was going to share this a little bit later, but this subject hits home with me because I was raised in church. I was a good little church girl. I was raised in church. Received Jesus at age 9 on my bed, me and him. But then as I got out into real life, you know, mommy and daddy can protect you for so long, it seemed like I was inadequate to live it. Insecurity set in, fear set in, depression. It would move in like a cloud, sometimes for weeks at a time. I didn't know how to get from under it. I was living a life, had a personal relationship as far as a mental ascent. I had received Jesus, prayed that little prayer. But I didn't know the fullness of the Godhead on the inside of me. I didn't know what the power of God could do in me and through me. And so I lived life as a Christian on such a low rung. But so you start talking about what the Word of God will do in your life. You start talking about how it will renew your mind and change your thinking. And you know what? When you think, you change the way you think, you change. And you can absolutely become all that God wants you to be. You can absolutely do all that He wants you to do in His strength and not in your own. If you will learn and tap in to who He is on the inside of you. Are you with me? Well, anyway, Ephesians 3:19 says, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. This is the Amplified. That you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God. You may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Do you want to be a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself? Hallelujah, that's what I want. You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that you are a three-part person. I say this a lot. You are a spirit. You're going to live forever, the real you, forever and ever. You have a soul, that's your mind, your will, your emotions, that decision-making part of you, your soul. And you live in a body. We get so focused on this outward tent, the body, but this is fading. Have you caught on? But you're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. But that spirit part of you has been reserved for Him. And that's why the story I read at the beginning, that's why all the achievements of the world, if it's just for the praises of man, or for the love of money, or for the esteem of power, it has no real fulfillment in itself, because there's a part of you that can only be fulfilled in Him. He's designed it that way. And so when you're born again of His Spirit, there's a capacity now for Him to invade and fill you and flood you with His Holy Spirit. And He wants to fill you with His very presence. And see, when you know that fullness and you're able to come into His presence and you're able to drink of His Spirit, it is so deeply satisfying that there's a sense that you have need of nothing. You know, when you go to the refrigerator, you kind of have the munchies. And there's nothing there. You go in the cupboard, nothing there. You go to a magazine, thumb it, nothing there. Guess what? Let that ache drive you to Him. It cannot be satisfied in anything else. And when you learn how to go and sit at His feet and allow Him to fill you up with His very presence, it is so deeply satisfying that you literally have need of nothing. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" The Holy Spirit's in you. "Whom you have from God, and that you are not your own." Verse 20 goes on to say that you were bought with a price. You don't even belong to you. And He's designed it that way. Because, as Pastor Deborah said earlier, He wanted fellowship with us. That's why He created us. In the cool of the garden, He walked with Adam and Eve, and He enjoyed that fellowship. We always look at our side of it. But there's God's side of it.
He loved walking and talking with his man and his woman that he had created in his own image. You know, my daughter came in my room last night. I was going to go to sleep a little earlier than she had decided for me. But she came in and she just flopped on my bed. Don't you love that? You know, when you have a 22-year-old daughter and she'll run in your room and flop on your bed, it's just something your heart leaps. And so she's laying there, she's talking to me, and I'm stroking her hair. And she goes, "Is something in my hair?" I go, "No, I just like stroking it." But we were laying there talking. And inside, there was such a satisfaction to be fellowshipping with my daughter. And she was asking spiritual questions, which has not always been the case lately. She was asking me spiritual questions. She has a friend that became an atheist. And she was, "Mom, how do I minister to her? What do I say?" And we started talking, and inside, it was such a deep satisfaction to be fellowshipping with my adult daughter. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? And how it aches when you don't have that fellowship. That's Father God. He put that in us. We're that feminine part of him. He put that in us, that nurturing, that desire for communication, that desire for fellowship. You know how men can go off in the cave, but we got to talk, and we follow them. You know, we want to communicate. We want to talk. And God loves his fellowship. He loves to talk with his daughters. He gave us all those words to use, and he loves to hear them, even if sometimes the men shut down. He likes to hear the unedited version. He likes to hear all the details. He made us that way and designed us, guess what, in his image. But that fellowship I was having with my daughter was so rich. And I was going to mention a little bit later when we're talking about the very presence of God, but I'll just mention right now. Her friend, she said, "You know, Mom, I had my doubts. In college, I was really being bombarded." I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know that." But anyway, she said, "I was really being bombarded. But you know, I kept remembering at camp and at different times when the Holy Spirit would move in children's church and in youth, I felt the presence of God. I know he's real." And so it would just hold me steady until I could get the right arguments going. But see, this friend of hers was raised in a church that she didn't experience all that. So she's just, you know, she's let the philosophies, you know, jar her belief system. And she's now saying that she's an atheist. But my point is, God wants us to experience his presence. He wants us to know him and to know him intimately. And he desires it as much as we do. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? There's a part of you that's empty unless it's filled and flooded with God itself, God himself. God says that we are full and we are complete in him. Philippians 4:19 in the Amplified says, And my God, will liberally supply. He'll fill to the full your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We use that a lot for finances. But whatever your need is, he said he will fill it to the full according to his mighty riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Once you're filled, once you realize that you are the very righteousness of God in Christ, that you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and who he is in you, and all that he wants to bring into your heart and into your life, and how he wants you filled with the very richness of his presence, no more will you be resentful when a mere man or woman disappoints you in somehow not meeting your needs. You won't be resentful toward that husband, because he was not designed to meet all your needs. You won't, out of insecurity and fear, try to make someone else give you what they don't have. You know, the women stalkers, you know, they're going to make that guy love them. No, you're not going to make him love you. You're going to make that girlfriend be your friend. No, you're not going to make her be your friend. Ever tried to make your teenage and adult kids do anything? Yeah. You're going to manipulate. You know, you're going to, no. Out of insecurity, you're not going to try to extract things from people that they don't have. I get this mental picture of like sucking on a lemon, you know, and we're just going to extract everything we need. We're the leeches of life. We're going to extract everything we need from people and kind of drain them dry, sucking on that lemon. And all they do, all they're doing is they're recoiling. They're pushing away because on the inside there's a sense that I'm not God. Don't do that to me. I am not God. And out of insecurity, we've done that. But when you're filled and flooded with God himself. See, we need friends in our life. But he wants us filled and flooded with God so that we have love to give. Your husband, yes, he's going to meet certain needs, obviously. And in a healthy relationship, it's very tit and tat. And if you need help today, we want you to make an appointment. We want to pray with you and help you. But on the other hand, he is not God. He is going to disappoint you. He is going to fail you. And yet, if you will focus on allowing God to fill you up with his word and with his presence and get full and flooded with God himself, then when he comes home, you're not, you never say you love me. You never, you know, after he's had a hard day, you know, but you'll be there with love to give him, to pour into him, to nurture him so that it can then be reciprocal. No more will you be jealous of what someone else has, whether it's possessions, position, or power. See, when you're fulfilled and complete in him, what do you need from somebody else? You'll rejoice with those who rejoice. When you know who you are, when you're filled and flooded with God himself, you won't be afraid of being alone. He's the answer, the extreme answer to loneliness. You will be complete in him. Amen. So how do you get filled and flooded with God? Have you been, you're chomping at the bit. Okay, Pastor Sue, get to the points. How do you get filled and flooded with God? Number one, you've got to ask. Number one, you've got to ask. You know what I found out in God? He is a gentleman and he absolutely will not do anything in your life that you don't want him to do. Like our pastor says with his altar call all the time. He knows your need. Duh. He knows your need. But he doesn't meet your need just because he knows your need. He's told you to ask. Luke 11:13 says, if you then being evil or natural know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You need to be filled and flooded with God himself. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 24:49, he said, wait in the city of Jerusalem. He basically said, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled. Would you agree? John 7:38 typifies what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like. And he says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his belly, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Out of you, rivers. Wouldn't you like to have rivers of living water for your children? Rivers of living water for your neighbor. Rivers of living water for that coworker that has told everyone she's an atheist. You need a river on the inside. You need to be filled and flooded to where a river is coming out. Amen? Number two, you need to get filled with his word. Now, I love this. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, once I entered into that deeper measure, I'm hinting about it, we're getting to it, of the Holy Spirit, and entered into really what is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a full submersion or immersion in his power where you're filled and flooded with him, I found the biggest thing that was so amazing to me is that I would sit down with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit I'd always known, but it just seemed like the volume was turned up louder now. And I would sit down with the Word of God, and he would teach me the Word of God. He would teach by comparing spiritual things with spiritual and taking me from one passage of Scripture to another. And he fills you with revelation knowledge from his Word. Yeah, you might not have ever done good in school. You might not think of yourself as a scholarly type. But he's told us all to study his word, not just ministers. He's told us to study his word, to know his word. so that then when we're out in the course of life, the Holy Spirit has something to bring to our remembrance. And he will do that. You'll be talking to someone and just the wisdom that you need, just the word that you need will rise up in you and you'll have a word spoken in due season. Do you believe that? But he wants to fill you with his word. The Spirit and the word agree. To be filled with the word of God is to be filled with the wisdom of God, is to be filled with the love of God, because God is love and his word and his spirit agree and they are one. So he wants to fill us with his word. And then like I mentioned earlier, Romans 12:2, you begin to change the way you think. The Holy Spirit will renew your mind. That verse says to not be conformed to this world, not to be like the world, but to be transformed or to be changed by the renewing of your mind to the word of God. You've got to reprogram that software, ladies, with the word of God. And when you begin to change the way you think about people, you begin to change the way you think about your husband, you begin to change the way you think about yourself, then there'll be a sense of completeness that, and strength that will come to your heart to absolutely transform you. Then number three, you need to spend time in his presence. How do we get filled and flooded with God? How do we become complete? You need to spend time in his presence. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. There's a fullness. There's a completeness. There's such a deep satisfaction. As we were standing here worshiping, and I was just in his presence. You know, God knows my situation. I'm always very in fear and trembling before I ever had the opportunity to minister, because I know how insecure I am in the flesh and how I got a C in public speaking in my freshman year of college. And I'm really desperately dependent on his anointing. So I got to hook up to the anointing. And if it ain't there, guess what? It ain't. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, and so I was over there just putting my heart in the Lord's and just lifting my heart up to him. And way down deep in my spirit, he spoke and said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you, daughter. And you know, that's just a simple word, but I needed that. And his presence touches you and meets you where you're at. There's lifting up situations. There's praying in English. But then when you're able to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you, and you're able to just sit at the Master's feet in his presence comes in. And he so deeply satisfies you that there is a sense that you really have need of nothing and everything's okay. Because guess what? He's in control, and it is if you place it in his hands. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many have needs? He says that we can find the mercy, we can find the grace that we need that in our time of need, but it's at his throne. And we have to learn to sit at his throne. We don't prescribe a duration of time around here. We don't say, oh, you've got to do an hour every morning, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Because so many of you, you know, you see the fingers coming under the door when you're on the toilet. But there is a way to do it. And speaking of the toilet... My daughter's graduation from college was recently, and I had 15 people staying at my house. You don't think that's wild? Yeah, some of them were there as many as 5 days, but most of them left after about three. And I woke up early one morning. I just needed to pray because, you know, being with that many relatives, how many know it can be a bit draining, you know? So I woke up real early, and I knew I was going to be fixing eggs and bacon for everybody. And so I got up real early. And the only place I could be alone, literally, was sitting on the toilet lid in that little compartment in our bathroom. And I just went in there and I just opened my Bible and I said, God, I just need you so bad. And he will do in 2 minutes what you need. He will do in 5 minutes what you need. It's not a duration of time. It's coming to his throne, lifting up your heart to him and saying, God, I need your presence. I'm desperately dependent on you, and allowing him to meet you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And listen to this. I love this. It thrills my heart. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them.
I will be their God and they shall be my people. God wants to talk to you. He wants to fellowship with you. He enjoys you being in his presence as much as you do. And then number four, how to get filled and flooded with God, how to be complete in him. Be obedient. Be obedient. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I want to read this story on obedience that Chuck Swindoll tells. It says, imagine, if you will, that you work for a company whose president found it necessary to travel out of the country and spend an extended period of time abroad. So he says to you and the other trusted employees, look, I'm going to leave. And while I'm gone, I want you to pay close attention to the business. You manage things while I'm away. I will write you regularly. When I do, I will instruct you in what you should do from now until I return from the trip. Everyone agrees. He leaves and stays gone for a couple of years. During that time, he writes often, communicating his desires and concerns. Finally, he returns. He walks up to the front door of the company and immediately discovers everything is in a mess. Weeds flourishing in the flower beds, windows broken across the front of the building, the gal at the front desk dozing, loud music roaring from several offices, two or three people engaged in horseplay in the back room. Instead of making a profit, the business has suffered a great loss. Without hesitation, he calls everyone together and with a frown asks, what happened? Didn't you get my letters? You say, oh yeah, sure, we got all your letters. We've even bound them in a book. And some of us have memorized them. In fact, we have letter study every Sunday. You know, those were really great letters. I think the president would then ask, but what did you do about my instructions? And no doubt the employees would respond, do? Well, nothing. But we read every one of them. God's given us his word. He's given us his giant love letter. And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I used to say to my kids when they were little, if you love me, obey me. And that's so much how we express our obedience to him. He designed us. He created us. He knows how we operate best. And if you want him to keep speaking to you, you want him to keep flowing in your life and using you, there has to be a heart that's obedient. One man said one time, you know, if you've gotten to a place that you're not hearing God's voice anymore and you think, God, I'm not sensing you or I don't hear you speaking to me about direction of my life or whatever. He says, go back to the last thing that you know he told you to do and get obedient. And then he'll keep speaking. You know, he wants to work in our lives, but we have to have a heart that responds and obeys. Amen. If we harden our hearts and harden our hearts, his voice will get more and more faint. So, God wants us to be completely complete. He wants us to be holy, holy. He wants to meet every area of our life. He wants to meet every need in our life. And we can do that by, number one, asking him. Say, God, fill me. I need to be filled to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, your very presence. I need you, God. In a few minutes, we'll be going to our tables. And if you know you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, I would be blessed. I would be privileged to meet you in that little altar room that the youth room has here, just around the corner in the hall. I'll just be standing over there. We'll pray for you. You'll be gloriously filled with the Holy Spirit and know the fullness of his very presence. Number one, we have to ask him, God, fill me. God, I need you. Number two, we have to get filled with his word. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, to lead you and guide you into all truth. Number three, spend time in his presence. Let him richly, deeply satisfy you with his very presence. What you're trying to extract from man, take that same ache to him and get in it at his feet and say, God, I need you to fill me up so that I have love to give. And he will do that. And number four, be obedient. Be instantly obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and you'll continue to hear him speak to you. Did you get something today? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.